God, let you raise hand in this morning with our King James 1611 Bible in hand, please. Amen. And I do mean the King James 1611 Bible. Well, I better not say that. I'm on the air. Some of you all know what I'm talking about if I'd mention it. So because I'm on the air, I'll just keep it quiet. Something that was said one time about a King James 1611 Bible, a red one. I've never quite gotten over that and quite understand the reasoning behind it, but anyhow. All right, if you'll turn in that King James Bible to the Gospel according to Mark. Mark's Gospel and chapter number 12 and verse number 41. Mark's Gospel, chapter number 12 and verse number 41. I want to read those verses on down through the end of the chapter. It says there in verse number 41, "And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. She cast in all that she had, even all her living." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the Sunday school time. Thank you for the privilege of preaching this morning. I pray for that fresh unction, that anointing power of the Spirit of God. I'd ask you, Lord, to fill me with your Spirit of grace and with power. Help me to preach today, Lord, that lives might be changed, that people's hearts might be blessed and stirred. Lord, that you truly might be seen in our eyes as our supreme Savior and God. That you might be seen, Lord, as the all-sufficient one. I pray, Lord, that you'd bless every home, bless those that are sick. That young man, Lord, that's in the hospital with those burns, I do pray for him that you'd touch his body and help relieve the pain that he has got to be experiencing. We ask you to help the Anderson family, Brother Don and his wife and children, his brothers and siblings, whatever he has, I pray for them. That God, that you'd give them the grace and help over the loss of their daddy that they need, and then the Massengill family. I ask you to help them. Comfort them, bless them as only God can, bless here now, and grant us liberty in the house of God, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I was reading through this the other morning, and God kindly, I don't know, it just seemed to catch my attention for some reason, and I really felt the urge to try to, in some way, preach on this passage of Scripture. And I don't want you to get too nervous. If you do, you'll grieve the Spirit of God and we won't get anywhere. I don't intend on preaching entirely on giving. And so don't get tied up in the knot now and think I'm going to get into your back pocket. Maybe just a little bit, but not a whole lot. The Lord laid that, especially there in verse 44, where it said that she did cast in all that she had. All that she had. Even all her living. And I want to preach for a little while this morning on the thought, give it all to Jesus. Amen. Just give it all to Jesus. Let me say a few words by way of introduction, and then we'll get right into the message. Let me begin by saying that Christ is concerned about what goes on down at the house of God. The Bible said here that he was sitting over against the treasury. And he was watching those rich people, those pay, I would assume men, as they went by and cast their money into the treasury. Now, I don't want to go into a lengthy detail on this, but back then, there in that outer court, they had separate boxes that were set up for various offerings that were given to the poor and to others and for this and that. And the Lord was sitting there. They called that the treasury. And he was sitting there against the treasury. And he watched how those rich men came by and cast in their money into the treasury. And then here come, the Bible said, this poor widow woman. And she cast in two mites. And apparently that was all the money that she had. And the Lord took notice of that. And, you know, I want to go back to what I said. Christ is concerned about what goes on in the house of God. Can you imagine him sitting there in the treasury, not saying a word? He's not standing up teaching. He's simply observing what's going on. Do you believe that he's here today observing what's going on? May I say to you, and I say this honestly and in love, I know some of you probably don't appreciate these young boys and girls coming up here and getting this money that I put down on the floor for them. But you know, the Bible said, you better not offend one of these little ones. And some of you would probably think, well, they need to be taught in the right way how to give money into the offering. They'll grow up not knowing the right way. Well, I've never seen an adult yet up here crawling around on their hands and knees, helping these young kids pick up this money and put it in this jug. You'll grow into that. But let these children enjoy giving money to God. The thought there is, teach them to give with a heart of joy.
Yes, sir.
And they'll live their life giving with that heart of joy.
Amen.
And so Christ is concerned about what goes on at the house of God. He's there watching, keeping an eye.
Amen.
And I believe he's here today. And I believe his eye is running to and fro across this auditorium, and not only here, but across all churches. His eyes are running to and fro and beholding everything that is going on in the house of God. He's concerned about what goes on in our life. You notice he particularly points out those rich men that were casting in their money into the treasury. But he made particular mention of that poor widow. She wasn't just a poor person, but she was a widow on top of that. And the Bible said that she cast in two mites, which is a farthing, you know, and she cast in all that she had, even all of her living. Now, I don't know if that was all the money that she had absolutely to her name. Could have been. It could have very well been her earnings for a day. I don't know. And she cast in a day's salary. It may have been a week's salary that she cast into that treasury. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. But I do know the Bible said she cast in all of her living. That tells me that when she lived, like most of us, from hand to mouth, and when it was put in, the Lord not one time rebuked her for doing that. I don't see any place in here where the Lord said, wait a minute, let these rich men take care of this, and you keep your two mites. You keep that. You're going to need that somewhere down the road. No, the Lord didn't say that. He accepted her two mites. As the same as he did the money from those rich people. And, you know, it's not so much how much money you put in, but it's with a spirit and the attitude of heart that you put it in with. And I think I'll say something about that in just a minute. But what we give to the work of the Lord is not necessarily measured on how much we have. It's not measured on how much we have and how much we give, but how much we don't have and how much we give. It's not measured on how much we have and how much we give, but how much we don't have and how much we give. She didn't have much, but she gave all that she had. And the Lord is mindful of that poor woman and their gifts and her gifts of charity, just as much as he noticed the rich men and their gifts of charity. She's given money to charity. And God notices her, as much as he does those that had plenty. Somebody said, well, I think Romney would make a good president because he's got a lot of money. Well, there's one thing for sure. If he don't have a lot, he will have when he gets out. You'll catch that much loaf right after a while. Amen. I'm going to tell you there's more going on to this thing about becoming presidents and governors and all this. When you spend $3.9 million in one state and $7 million in another state, in two states, $10 million on advertisement in a primary election, or just to be a president of the United States, I'm going to tell you, men want power, and they're greedy of that power. And I'm going to tell you, God is mindful of that, just like he is mindful of what is going on here. Now, the love that this poor widow has for Jesus cannot be determined by what she cast into the treasury. And her worldly possessions, but rather by how much of her that the Lord possessed. She's not measured here on how much she possessed. But she's measured here on how much the Lord possessed of her. Amen. And how much she possessed of the Lord. Now, she could have cast in all of her, all that she had, because the Lord already had possessed all that she had, or the Lord already knew how much she possessed and how much she had. But I wonder today, have you and I really give all that we have to him? Have you really taken inventory in your life? And I'm not just going to refer to money, but have you really taken inventory of your life to see if you have given the Lord all of you? She cast in everything she had. If I understand that correctly, she gave the Lord all of herself. Everything that she had, she gave to him. She gave her entire life unto the Lord. And I mentioned a few things here this morning that I think that we need to give to the Lord. I want to say, first of all, I think that we need to give him our heart. Don't you? I think the Lord deserves our heart. Now, this may shock some of you what I'm getting ready to say, but I think we need to give the Lord our heart that it might be searched and that it might be tried. Some of you said, preacher, you're crazy. I don't think so. The Bible said in Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse number 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know your heart? You better give it to him, because you don't know it. I'll assure you of that. A lot of people got the idea they know what's going on in their life, but I'm telling you, you really don't know what's going on in your heart. It is deceitful. It is desperately wicked. Amen. And there have been many a fool that's followed the leadership of their heart, and they've wound up in hell. And there'll be many more that'll follow the leadership of their heart, and they'll wind up in hell just the same. But it goes on to say, the Lord said, I, the Lord, search the heart, and I try the reins. Now, we're to give the Lord our heart that he may search it and he may try it. Somebody said, oh, I don't want God to know what's in there. Well, I'm going to tell you, David did in Psalm 139, search me, O Lord, and try me, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in a way everlasting. And our problem today is that we have closed our heart to the Lord, and we've not really given him our heart, because we know to some degree what is in our heart, and we're ashamed for him to know what's there. May I say to you on the authority of the Word of God, he already knows. He said, I search the heart and I try the reins. You ain't hiding a thing from God. I'm not hiding a thing from him in my heart. He knows every nook and cranny and crevice in our heart. And he knows the sin that is there, the righteousness that is there. He knows the desires that are there, the want-tos that are there. He knows that they're there. You know, David wanted to build a house for the Lord. And God said, you're not going to build it, David. He said, I'll let your boy build it. But he said, I'll tell you, it was a good thing that it was in your heart. Oh, Dad, God knew that it was in David's heart to build that temple, but he wouldn't let him, but he did let his son build it. Amen. Now, God searches our hearts and he tries our hearts, although he already knows what is there. And for this reason, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. So we ought to give God our heart that he may try it and that he may search it, that he may give every man according to his doing. I don't know about you, but when I see the Lord, I want a reward. I don't want to stand empty at the judgment seat of Christ. And I don't want to have to wait till I get there for him to expose everything that's wrong in my life. Amen. And we ought to willingly and voluntarily give him our heart. May I say this to you? If we'll give him our heart, we'll have no problem giving him our money. If he's got our heart, he won't have any problem giving. We won't have any problem giving him our money, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. Because like Brother Steve said in Sunday school, when it's all said and done and it's time to lay down this head and die, nothing will matter to you except what you have done for Christ. It ain't going to matter how much money you've made, what you possess, or it ain't going to how much fun you've had in life or pleasures you've had, how much sin you've committed, how much adultery you've committed. That ain't going to amount to anything. What is going to amount to something is what you've done with Christ in your life. Have you given him all of your heart, just voluntarily opened it up and say, here it is, search me and try me and know my way and see if there's anything wicked in there. And if there is anything in there, help me to get it right that I may walk with you in a way everlasting. It's what the Bible says. Now, that's right. Give him your heart that he may search it and try it. Then give him your heart that you may receive your just reward. That's what it said in Jeremiah 17. He's going to give you the fruit of his doings. I want my reward. That's right. And I want him to have my heart that I may receive my just reward. Hallelujah. That's right. And don't want to hold anything back from God. Amen. I want him to turn the searchlight on in my soul. Somebody, he got to doing that up there in that camp meeting. He got to doing it not only to me, but to a lot of people. And I'm going to tell you, there was some snot flying, ladies and gentlemen. I've always said I wanted to go to a camp meeting where snot was running and tears were running and snot was a flying. Well, I woke up at 4 o'clock Tuesday morning and I said, Lord, I finally got my wish. But it wasn't in a meeting. It was in a cold that I had. But you know, I got to the meeting and hey, lo and behold, that wasn't the only tears that was rolling. Amen. And that wasn't the only snot that was flying. Brother, I'm telling you, God flew into that place on eagle's wings and began to work in the hearts of people. And you know why he could work in those hearts? They had opened up their heart and given it to the Lord. You close your heart to him. He knows what's in there, but you close your heart to him. And I'm going to tell you something. You close it, and whatever sin is in there, mark it down. It's going to stay in there. There's but one way to get it out, that's open it up and let the Lord take care of that problem for you. Now, I'm telling you, there must have been some hearts opening up there because tears were running. Now, I'm going to tell you, folks on the altar are praying. We had a great time in God. I'm talking about a wonderful time in the Lord. I really enjoyed that meeting tremendously. And, you know, I want the Lord to search my heart because I want to receive a just reward. And then I want him to search my heart that he may possess all of my love. All of my love. The Bible said in the book of Deuteronomy, and you've heard me read this a number of times, he said, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with what? All thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. I want to ask you something. If God opened up your heart this morning, would it be full of love? That's what he said. He said, that's what he called it for. If he opened up my heart this morning, would it be full of love? Or would there be just a little bit of room in there for animosity? Would there be a little bit of space in there for jealousy? Would there be a little bit of corner over there for anger or malice or wrath? Would there be some secret sin tucked away down in the dark recesses of that heart? Or if he opened it up, would it automatically flood forth the love of God? I don't know about you, but hey, I want my heart full of the love of God. If we'll get our hearts filled up with the love of God, we'll just give Him our heart and let Him fill it with His love. I'm going to tell you something. She'll leak out somewhere out of you that others will see that love of God in you, and they may glorify our Father which is in heaven. Amen. Amen. Glorify God. That's right. Through the good works that we do for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, I don't know about you, but I think this morning that we ought to want to give Him our heart. I think we ought to give Him our heart. Yeah, I'm going to say that give Him our heart that He may rejoice your heart. Psalm 19 and verse number 8 is a marvelous verse of Scripture. The Bible said the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. You know why some of you are sitting in here this morning, you look like a Missouri mule eating sawbriars. You've never given Him your heart. Amen. That He may rejoice your heart. Baptists know, most Baptists I'm acquainted with absolutely know nothing about the joy of the Lord.
Right.
Now I'm going to tell you why we're so weak and frail in our Christianity today is because the joy of the Lord is our strength.
Amen.
And we don't have any joy because we've not given Him that heart.
Amen.
The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart.
Amen.
When was the last time you can honestly say that you rejoiced in heart over what God had done for you in your life? Friend, if we get a hold of the fact that we were lower than the dust of the earth, amen, and God picked us up out of that mire and that muck and washed us in His blood, amen, and His Holy Ghost now indwells and lives in our heart, hallelujah, I believe it'll bring a little joy in our soul to know that we're secure, to know that we're safe, to know that we're holy, to know that we're pure and peculiar people unto the Lord. It'll bring a little bit of joy in our heart.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart.
Amen.
Now that tells me something right here. We're not reading our Bibles much.
Amen.
That the statutes, that's talking about the Word of God.
Right.
I asked Brother Hardin, he told me when he was here, I asked him up there in the presence of another preacher, how many times have you read your Bible since you left us in last August? He said, Brother Hall, I'd rather not say. He said, this other preacher don't know me that well, and he might think I'm bragging about it. And I'm going to tell you, it shows. He preached on revival.
Yes, sir.
And preached with a broken heart. I mean, that old man stood there and wept tears.
Right.
Because of the condition of our churches.
Amen.
That we're in today. Wept for revival. And I'm going to tell you why he did. He had been in that book.
Amen.
And hey, that's right. And he had opened up his heart to the Lord. And God had filled his heart full of the love of God. And put some rejoicing in there. The Bible said, will thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?
Amen.
Now I know we're not revived because there's no rejoicing.
Amen.
Somebody said, you're talking about running the aisles. I'm talking about rejoicing. You can call it whatever you want to call it. And sometimes I call it just letting the mule out of the barn a little bit. Amen.
Amen.
That's right. That's right.
Amen.
It don't hurt to say amen every now and then.
Right.
Praise God. It don't hurt to come to church happy.
That's right. Amen.
Some folks come to church and look like they've been made to come. I mean, beat there with an ugly stick. Do I have to go today? You tell me it's Sunday again and I have to go to the church? No, it's Sunday again and we get to go to church. You mean I have to listen to preaching? No, it's Sunday again and we get to listen to preaching. I'm just telling you, have you give Him all of your today. That woman threw in two mites, and the Lord said she threw in all that she had, even all of her living. Have we give Him all that we have today when it comes to this thing of our heart?
Amen.
We give Him all of our heart. Let Him possess it. Does He sit right up on the throne of it? I read the other day where some man said the soul of man is a sacred thing. And God would never force Himself upon it. But said if that sinner ever opens a door, that he, Jesus comes in to reign. Buddy, that He does, I'm telling you. I'll guarantee you. You give Him all your heart and let Him open it up, you know what He'll see? Him sitting on the throne, reigning. I used to like to tell people this, and you don't get many laughs out of it anymore, Josh. I used to like to tell people this. When I first got saved, the devil come knocking on my heart. I went back in there. And of course, I didn't want to let Him in my heart. But the door of my heart opened up for Him anyway.
Amen.
And all at once, I heard the devil say, "What are you doing in here?" Now, I'm just kind of, telling a story here. That devil looked into my heart and said, "What are you doing in here?" And the Lord said, "Well, haven't you heard? He's dead."
Amen.
"Who's dead?" "Hall." "Well, how can he be dead?" "Well, he died and I moved in."
Yes.
"I'm living here now."
Yes.
"I'm living here now."
Yes.
Amen. I'm going to tell you. And if he lives there, we ought to give him our heart.
Amen.
And let him fill our heart with the love of God and the joy of the Lord and the peace of God that passes all understanding. Amen.
Amen.
And let Him search our heart and try the reins that He may give to every man that which is His just reward.
Amen.
And don't say too much about these little kids coming up here picking up this money. Because I'm going to tell you, if God was sitting there in the house of God watching the treasury, saw that old poor widow woman come in there with her two mites, don't you think He don't see these little kids up here?
Amen.
Somebody said, "Oh, that's the wrong way of doing things." Well, Mr. Wright, how would you do it?
Yeah.
You know so much about it.
Amen.
You know so much about pastoring. How would you do it?
Right.
What would you do? Offend the man that brings it in to give to him?
Right.
I'm not going to.
Amen.
Now, I want to say secondly, not only give him your heart, but we need to give him our home.
Amen.
Brethren, I'm going to tell you the homes across America are falling apart.
Amen.
In Baptist churches, they're falling apart. You know who I thought about when I thought about this passage, when I thought about that thought of Jesus, of giving Jesus our home? I thought about a woman by the name of Mary. In Luke chapter number 10 and verse 38. The Bible said, "Now it came to pass as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house." Now what about that?
Amen.
Apparently, she didn't have anything in there to hide. If you gave him your house this morning, you got anything there you'd have to hide from him before you let him in? Would you have to put the television set under the bed? Would you have to move any magazines off the table? Get any liquor off the liquor shelf? Playing cards out of the cabinet? By the way, I don't believe in playing cards. I don't use the stinking things. Any kind of them. Somebody said, "Well, what's wrong with them? What's right with them? They use them in Las Vegas."
Amen.
I'm not going to use anything they're going to use in a gambling shack out in Vegas or up here on Casino Astar or this mess. I don't want no playing cards in my house.
Amen.
Period.
Amen.
I won't charge anything for that.
Amen.
You give him your house. Martha gave him her house. And some people expect Jesus to remain at his house, but they never want him down at their house. Oh, we want him down at the church house. Well, I hope God meets with us at the church house. When was the last time God met with you at your house? That's right. He not only wants this house, he wants your house as well. Come on in the house now. Do you know what he saw when he walked into her house? Here's what he saw. Number one, he saw her love when she opened up her house to him. That's right. She said, he saw her love. There was nothing there for her to be ashamed of. Nothing there that she had to hide. Nothing there that would embarrass her when Jesus come walking in. Nothing at all. Now, I'm going to tell you what else he saw. He not only saw her love, but I'm going to tell you something else. He saw her labor. The Bible said that she was cumbered about with much serving. If he come to your house, would he see you laboring? Maybe he'd see some of, would he see some of you laboring in the Word? Let me throw this in real quickly. He also saw learning in her house. There was Mary sitting at Jesus' feet listening to what he had to say. So you got a laborer and you got a learner and you got a lover in that house. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. You got that in, you got that in your house. You got something to be proud of.
Amen.
Amen. I say open the doors and open them wide and let Jesus come inside. Amen.
Amen.
Here and over there both. Amen. That's right.
Amen.
That's right. And when he comes in, I want to see, I want to have to be, would he see love or would he see somebody grouching?
Right.
I told him in Sunday school this morning, I may have told him, oh, I don't know, I may have told it to you, some of you women. But this morning we was getting ready to leave and I'm a little wobbly these days and I had that big tall green cup of coffee that Miss Hall, that big green cup she bought me, and I had it plumb to the brim of full of coffee. I walked out of the bedroom where I just got my jacket, didn't have it on because I wanted to take my blood pressure. And I set that cup down and I missed a coaster. And it sat down on the side of it and it just flipped over. Water went all over, coffee went all over the table, all over my Bible, all over my books, all over, I'm telling you, all over everything. I didn't get excited. Miss Hall didn't get excited. She just started wiping it up off the books and the floor and off my Bibles and one thing and another. Now I'm going to tell you something. Somebody said, what's amazing about that? I'm going to tell you what's amazing. Had that been a few years back, you know what I'd have done? I'd have thrown that cup plumb through a wall or a window or anything. It wouldn't have mattered to me, son. I'm telling you, that was just my temper. Are you listening to what I'm saying? But I'm going to tell you, if Jesus had walked in over today, he'd said, boy, I'm proud of you. You didn't throw that cup today. Are y'all?
Amen.
Come on now. I didn't have time. When he come in, would he see your temper raging? Would he see you growling at one another? Biting at one another's neck? Chewing on, griping, grouching? Belly aching, murmuring, moaning, groaning. I know we're that way because Israel was that way. Come on now. Some of you are starting to get fidgety, buddy. I'm telling you, when you start turning, I know I got you right where you nail. I wouldn't be at all surprised some of you didn't have a knockdown drag out before we come to church today. Constantly fussing at one another. It ain't no wonder our children are like they are when mommies and daddies can't even get along with one another in their own home. I'm telling you, we got to give God our hope, amen, and get along with one another and love one another and learn about Christ in the home.
Amen.
He did at Martha's house.
Yes, sir, preacher. Amen.
She didn't say no. She didn't shut the door and say, wait a minute. She just opened the door and said, Lord, come on in. She was serving, laboring. Mary was learning. But I'll tell you something else he saw. Ooh, I don't even like this. He saw a little bit of contention. Martha said, Lord, don't you care that Mary's left me here to do all the work by myself? A little bit of contention going on there between them two ladies. If he come to your house, will they see that? Contention going on between hubby Debbie and sweetheart? Or contention between the children? Come on now, somebody say, are you listening to what I'm saying? Come on now. They were fussing, in other words. Boy, I've got some of you nailed. I can see it. Son, I might as well quit. I can see it already. She threw in too much, and the Lord said she's thrown in all she had, even all of her living. She gave him everything she had. I guarantee you, friend, if she gave all the money that she had, he already had the heart, and he already had the home. There ain't no question about that. He already had them. I'm going to tell you, there ain't nothing like gathering at the house of the Christian family. If you got a piano and somebody in the house knows how to play that piano, why don't you drag that thing out of the corner and blow the dust off the keys? Or if you got a guitar, what have you got to make music? Get you a couple of hymn books and sit down a couple, three times a week at least and just sing some hymns together. Let Daddy read that Bible to the children, to his wife, to himself.
Amen.
Read some of that Bible. Get down and have old-fashioned altar. We've got a program on this station called the Family Altar Program. And I doubt that very many people even know what it represents. Family altar, it's a thing of the past. When families used to gather around that old family altar and call upon the name of the Lord. I'm going to tell you something, folks. We need to get back to them old paths. We need to get back to them old time religion. I'm telling you, we've slipped a long way. We're so backslidden, it's pathetic. We're so backslidden, we don't really realize how far back we're gone.
That's right. Amen.
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 Yes, sir.
Have you given him your heart? Have you given him your home?
Amen.
I want to say another thing to give him this morning. Oh no, I ain't done with the home yet. I'm going to say Jesus can make the home pure.
Amen.
He can make it pure. Ain't nothing like a home. I'm going to tell you what. I'm not proud of it, but I was raised in a drunkard's home. Friend, I'm going to tell you, there's some things went on in my house.
Amen.
My home that I wouldn't even repeat to these young kids in here. But I'm telling you, I've seen some terrible things. Drinking and cussing and fighting and cutting and kicking and throwing up all over the floor. I've seen them breaking beer bottles around the kitchen table, playing cards and chasing one another around the table with broken beer bottles, and all of us kids scared to death. Before my daddy got saved, a number of times I've seen him go in there and get an old gun and run Mama and me and the kids off and run us up to Grandpa Hall's house. We'd have to take refuge up there from him because he was just drunk out of his head. You hear him say, hey, ain't no love in that. There wasn't no love in that home.
Amen.
Nobody's heart there belonged to Jesus. The home didn't belong to Jesus. There wasn't any holiness there. But oh, I'm going to tell you, I blessed the day when God showed mercy on my soul.
Amen.
There wasn't any of that in my home until I met Jesus.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you, when I met him, hey, I sold out the best way I know how.
Amen.
I gave him everything that I have. And by the way, everything I got belonged to him. You know why? He gave it to me. It's his anyway. And if you got anything, you got it because he gave it to you, friend. He gave it to you. Are you listening to what I'm telling you? You have nothing of your own. He gave you it all, every bit of it. People go out and make big money and they're so stinking tight with it. They wouldn't give God a dime of it.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
There's that poor widow. No wonder the Lord said she's thrown in more than the rest of you. I've got her heart and I've got her home. And so that home, God knows how to make it pure. And God knows how to make that home precious.
Amen.
Well, there's no place any more precious than the house. We drove in over there on Thursday night. I sat down in that green chair, and Miss Hall sat down over in her little old chair. She looked over me and said, ain't no place like home, is there? I said, baby, it sure is good to be here. There ain't no place like it, folks.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, it can be a haven of rest. Amen. It can be a refuge from the world.
Amen.
It can be a hiding place from sin.
Amen.
The home can.
Amen.
We're willing to make it that.
Amen.
And it can become a precious place where your little children laugh and play. Have a good time. I wish I could tell you this, but I can't. So it comes to my mind, but I can't. Because it's something Brother Doug said at that meeting, and it's something another man told me right up here today. Now, they didn't say it in confidence, but I'm not going to repeat it. It wasn't nothing ugly, but I'm just not going to repeat it. But if you want to know what it was, I'll tell you after the service. I'm going to tell you in front of these children. But it's not ugly, and it's not cursing, it's nothing like that. That I'm just not going to tell you front of them. But Jesus can make that house precious. I want to ask you something. Have you given him your hurt? Somebody said, preacher, what on earth are you talking about, Will? The Bible said in Psalm 105, I believe it's 105, about Joseph. In Psalms 105, I believe I can find it here in a minute. Give me just a few seconds. Psalm 105. The Bible said in verse 17, said, he sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron. His feet was hurt. Don't you imagine when his feet was hurt, he may have cried out and said, you're hurting me! You're hurting me! I wonder how many in here this morning, maybe not physically, but how many in here this morning, in your spirit, somebody's hurting you!
Amen.
Have you give him that hurt? Amen. There's people in here this morning that's no doubt, and I'll just mention these, that are brokenhearted. There's people in here today that's got a wounded heart. There's people in here today that are hurting because of past memories. There's some of you in here that have got memories that just, you won't turn loose of. And they're hurting you. Have you give him that hurt? I'm going to tell you, he knows how to take your wounded heart, your broken heart and your wounded spirit, your hurt and your pain, and take it all upon himself and replace it with peace and joy and love and tranquility. Give it to him this morning. Don't live your life hurting all the time about something you have no control over.
Amen.
When we heard a couple of weeks ago, that little old Kalen had cerebral palsy. I'm telling you, it like to killed me. It like to, and I still ain't quite got over it. But I'm telling you, it hurt.
Amen.
I'm telling, are you listening to me? I'm telling you, it hurt. But I'm trying my best to give that hurt to him.
Amen.
People have children like that a lot of times. There's nothing can be done about it. And they spend all their life pining away because God gave them a child that was born in that manner. Don't you know that God knew that before that child was born?
Amen.
Don't you know that that child is a special child?
Amen.
My wife had a little brother younger than her, and he had a tumor one time, and I don't know, it damaged his brain, and one of his left arm withered, and he couldn't learn. He went to school, and he couldn't learn, and this and that, and he had seizures. And I've watched him a number of times. I've watched him be standing there in the house and one of those seizures hit him and he just fall over backwards. And the only thing that would save him from being killed when he had one of those seizures, his neck would draw up this way and he'd fall over on his back. And that's his little old heart. I learned right away how to take care of him. But I've tried, because you had to hold him. And when you turned him loose, I don't care what you said, what you did. When you turn him loose, look out, honey. That right hand's coming upside your head. I've been busted with that right hand upside my face more than once. And I never said a word. I just loved him. Because that's the way he was. And I learned that that's the way God made him. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, Ben and Angie is going to have to learn to live with the way God's made little Kayla. And there's others that's got children. You're just going to have to learn to live. You're going to have to give that hurt to Him. Have you told Him that it hurts? Have you told Him that your heart is pined? Have you told Him that your heart is weary and wounded and weak and tired of all of it? I'm going to tell you, He can take that hurt and turn it into joy.
Amen.
They used to have a name that they called little kids that had diseases like that, and I'm not even going to mention it. But I was so glad when they started calling them special children, because they are special.
Amen.
When you look at a little old note, and it's written backwards, it says, "Poppy, I love you. Kaylin," and it's written backwards. I'm going to, you don't think that don't hurt? Sure that hurts. But I'm going to tell you something. You don't have to give it to Him. And just rejoice that God's given us a special child. Somebody said, "Why me? Maybe, hey, maybe you're the only one God can trust with a child that way. There's people in this world that could not handle a child like that. And God has given them that baby because He trusted them with her."
Amen.
Joseph said, "A hurt." There's none of us in here this morning that in some way, shape, form, or fashion have not been hurt, wounded, broken in our soul, in our spirit, and hurt. But I'm telling you, give that hurt to Him. Give it all to Him. He walked them, that widow, throw in that 2 mites, and He said, "She gave her all."
Right.
Have you gave Him all your heart?
Amen.
Have you gave Him all your home? Have you gave Him all your hurt? Now, I'm going to close with this. This may sound crazy to some of you, but have you given Him all your health?
Right.
Boy, I'll tell you, it's a hard thing for me to do, to accept it all. Now I don't understand why, but I'm going on 66. Praise God, I'm still preaching. I'm not as fast as I used to be. Every now and then I catch myself dragging that right leg a little bit. And occasionally I catch myself turning over big coffee, cups full of coffee. Sometimes I even stumble into doorways and one thing or another to house. Stumble around like a blind dog in a meat house. But you know something? God gave it to me. Do you think He gave it to me to hurt me? No. God never gives us anything to hurt us. If God has given you a problem with your health, God's given it to you to help you. Not to hurt you, but to help you. Oh, yes. Bless His wonderful name. Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
Somebody said, "Well, you're sick because of sin." Well, yeah, to a degree, I have to say that's right. Sickness is in the world because of sin.
Right.
It's like that tire Shalom fell on those people. It don't make me a bigger sinner than it does anybody else. Like it did them. It didn't make them any greater a sinner than anybody else. They're all going to repent or perish. And I'm trying to figure out why. And one of these days, you're going to be sitting in your house. And you're going to hear one of the loudest screams and hollers you've ever heard in your entire life. And you're going to turn around and look at your husband or wife and say, "God must have just told the preacher why He gave him that sickness." It'll be for something good. Somebody said, "Preacher, how can it be good?" I don't know.
I'm not God.
But have you given him all of it? I'm trying to, but I'm telling you, and some of these people work here and know it's hard for me to do. It's hard. Just to give him everything. Everything about you. He made us. And we are sheep of his pasture and not our own. And if we are, he owns us. He knows exactly how to take care of us. He knows exactly what each one of us needs to keep us right with him. What about you this morning? You give me a heart? Have you given me a home? The place where you labor and learn and love? Pure, precious place? Have you gave him your hurt? Have you gave him your health? Say, here it is, Lord. I'm sick and can't do nothing about it. You think we got problems? I read the other day in the paper where a fella from Vietnam War, that he got a letter in the mail that he was dead and had been dead for 5 years. He had been going to a doctor, giving him medicine for diabetes. He went back to that. Now, he went back to that doctor and said, "Doc, I'm going to need some medicine. I'm out of medicine for my diabetes." You know what that doctor told him? "I can't give you any medicine. You're dead." "I am?" They showed his casket. 5 years. The army said he was, the VA said he was dead. The man was alive for 5 years and couldn't even get medicine. They owed him $94,000 in back pay. Because they said he was dead. And sent him a letter and told him, "You're dead." Well, I appreciate somebody telling me that. I'd never known if you hadn't said something about it. Now, how would you like to be in that fellow's shoes? That'd be rough, wouldn't it? A real walking dead man. Well, we all, if we're saved, we used to be walking dead people. Oh, my God, that jumping table on there. Used to be a walking dead, but now I'm walking alive. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not only walking alive, I'm walking in the land of the living. I'm going to keep on walking in it. Jesus calls me home. Have you given? Have you ever thought about just giving all of it? That's what that old man told me up there. Brother Elliott Smith that time. I was telling him about this medicine I got and this medicine I got. And he wouldn't take medicine. Pain medicine, he wouldn't take nothing. He was in an automobile wreck about to die and he wouldn't take nothing. And he came up to where I was at and he said, "Have you ever thought about just giving them all of it?" And I thought to myself, "Not really." I wish I could. But I'm about ready to give it a try. Couldn't be much worse than it is. Boy, God just hit me. But the worse it gets, the better it gets. Amen. Somebody said, "You're nuts." You ain't the first one thought that. The better it gets. And it's going to get better on up the road.
Amen.
Jesus sat over and watched those rich men. Here come that poor little humpback widow. Looked at them two little mites and said, "That's all I got." Said in her heart. She said, and the Lord said, "Come here, I want to tell you something. You see these rich men, how they've cast into the treasury?" He said, "I'm going to tell you something. That widow woman cast in two mites that make a farthing. And she's cast in more than they all." Not one of them. More than all of them. You know why? Because God had her heart and her home, her hurt, her health, and everything about her. He is in control of everything in her life. Is it yours? Let's stand together.